Sleeper Wire, the only fantasy football radio show with more than a dozen multi-time, multi-league, multi-year champions. Listen to the Sleeper Wire show every Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Dash Talk.
Hey, everybody. Before we start the show, I just want to tell you once again about PristineAuction.com. Website that has daily auctions ending every single night with hundreds of items that are perfect for your man cave. Everything is JSA certified. They use the best authenticators in the business. It's definitely affordable. It's 100% free to register and bid, and you only pay when you win. Go to PristineAuctioning.com and let them know that you heard about it from SleeperWire. That's P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E Auction.com.
I challenge you to a duel.
It's the only argument I need!
I don't want to talk to you no more, you...
You got a lot of nerves.
Soon you will know what it is like to be defeated.
Stop defending him, Sean!
All right, let's go.
Hey, sleepers, and welcome to the SleeperWire Great Debate Show, where we've been doing fast debates between two players. I'm your host, Professor Chris, on Twitter at Seymour SleeperWire, and with me is Dirty Jobs Mike on Twitter at DrKane21. What's going on, man?
Not much. How are we doing this evening?
I'm doing great. I'm looking forward to this show.
Yeah, me too. I'm excited to kind of recap a few of these things and kind of see where we what direction we led people in and things of that nature, just to see were we really helping with these debates, because I really think we were. So,
yeah. So Mike just sort of let the cat out of the bag, but what we're going to be doing here is we actually don't have a great debate for this week, and we finished our last one of the season last week. We're trying to get you to the playoffs and those stashes and everything, and we're to the playoffs. So really, the waiver wire doesn't really have any guys that you're going to want to get. You're picking up handcuffs and you're picking up defenses to stash. But it doesn't really make a good show to talk about guys on the waiver wire who are completely irrelevant at this point. So what we thought we'd do is just recap all the great debates that we've done this season. And Mike, do you believe it? We've done 25 of them.
That is unbelievable, man. I just cannot believe that we have done that many this year. I mean, I was only part of five of them. You were part of all 25. That is insane, man. That's a lot of radio.
Yeah, it certainly was. Were you only a part of five?
Five or six. I might have been a few more. I mean, very often.
You were five during the season, but you and I did two in the preseason over the summer as well.
Right, right.
Yep, so seven total.
Oh, wow. That's right. Crazy. Yeah.
That's... Second most after Hoos. I think he had nine.
Oh, nice.
Maybe it was more than that. I'm not sure. Either way. So, yeah, 25 great debates. And what we're going to do, just go through and talk about each one here. And we're going to start with where we started off in the summer, you know, before preseason, before really even training camps, and we were pre-fantasy football draft, we were already doing these great debates. And the first one that we started with, Amari Cooper versus Doug Baldwin.
Yeah, that was between you and Nick there. I'm not too sure who won that debate. Hopefully the Doug Baldwin side of things won the debate, because he seemed to me to have by far the better season. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, he's definitely been the better one. Yep. And when we were doing this one, the way we went about doing these is we picked two players at the same position who had very similar ADPs. And this one, we saw a lot of questions on, you know, Cooper or Baldwin. We saw a ton of people asking that on Fantasy Life and Sleeperbot. So we decided that should be the first show. And I actually had Baldwin higher in my rankings, but I had him 10 and 13. So they were fairly close.
Nice. Very nice. Yeah. Seeing with me, I liked Amari Cooper a lot coming into the season. I just had kind of the initial reaction about, I just don't know if he's going to get involved the way, you know, because it seemed like this is about a 2 or 3 year ordeal now where he's kind of so hit or miss. And Baldwin seems like he's really been consistent this whole entire season.
Yeah, seems like it. All right, moving on to the second one that we did was AJ Green and Jordy Nelson. And clearly AJ Green, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, Jordy Nelson, by no fault of his own, definitely lost that one. He's still the premier elite receiver, but apparently he's only a premier elite receiver when Aaron Rodgers is also on the field with him.
Right. And he still is the best weapon that the Packers have on offense, I don't get why Hundley doesn't throw him the ball.
Right. Yeah. No, that's I had the Voltron dream. I thought yesterday for sure was going to be the day that we actually saw some Jordy Nelson getting some touchdown action, and nope. Denied.
Yeah. Yep. Certainly. So AJ Green, definitely the better call of those two. I will say, though, with how Jordy was playing with Rodgers at the beginning of the season, this could have been an easy victory for Jordy.
Right. Yep. The way he started it, it would have been all him. But with the way once Aaron Rodgers hit the ground, that was it.
Yep. Certainly. All right. We moved into the first two that we did were both wide receivers. Then we went on a little streak of running backs, starting with DeMarco Murray versus Jay Ajayi. And when we came up with this one, my immediate thought was, I am not taking Jay Ajayi.
Yeah, same here. It's not like DeMarco Murray made you a ton of points this year or anything like that. I mean, he was at least a lot more consistent than Ajayi. I liked how this was all preseason, you know, so he's still a Dolphin at that point. I don't think there was a one of us that was very high on him in the preseason, but I definitely, man, I was kind of getting some good expectations when he got to the Eagles, but man, now he's just a Ajayi being a Ajayi.
Yeah, he's just not very good. Now, DeMarco Murray, do you know where he in PPR leagues is ranked right now? And I'm talking total fantasy points on the season.
I would be completely guessing, but it seems to me like he would probably be like 11.
Number 17.
Number 17? Yep. Okay, so fairly close. I mean, which, he's 17, but does it feel like it to you?
No, not at all. That's the point I was trying to make.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, it just doesn't feel like he has it. Maybe that says something about all the other running backs in the league this year if he's number 17.
Yeah, these rookies are killing it, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's been a great year. Well, moving on to the fourth one, Melvin Gordon and Jordan Howard. And this was me and Nick, and of course he took Jordan Howard because he's a Bears fan. But I really, you know, I kind of wanted Howard. You know how high I've been on Melvin Gordon, right?
Right, absolutely.
Yeah, that's because of this debate. Digging into Melvin Gordon's stats, what he did last year, made me love the guy. I had him as my RB4 behind David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell, and Zeke.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this looking into this really changed my mind. And Melvin Gordon has killed it.
Yeah, he's had a really good season. Jordan Howard hasn't been a slouch by any means either. The past few weeks, he's kind of been not on the charts. But I think either one of these guys you did pretty good with. But I do believe you're probably happier with Melvin Gordon.
Yeah, I need Howard to be consistent.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
He's the number 15 right now in PPR, which is okay, but you know, for where they were going, which was right next to each other, certainly Melvin Gordon's been a lot better.
Oh, yeah. Hands down. Hands down.
Yep.
Stayed healthy all season, too. That's awesome.
Right. Right. Yep. So, I absolutely fell in love with Melvin Gordon there. Then, we moved on to the next one, our third running back great debate. Fell in love with this guy, too. Todd Gurley versus Lamar Miller, who Hoos was arguing for, and made me love Todd Gurley.
Yeah, that's kind of weird because preseason I wasn't into Todd Gurley at all. And at this debate, in fact, kind of started swaying my opinion a little bit by about, a little bit, 2-3 more weeks of exposure with you and Hoos, and I was all in on Todd Gurley. And I appreciate it. I really do. I really thank you guys for getting me on board with that guy because, my God, he has been a beast this year.
Yeah, certainly. Certainly. All right. Todd Gurley definitely been way better than Lamar Miller. He is the number one scoring running back this season in PPR leagues.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all. He's just been all over the field this year.
Yep, he's got 14 more points than Le'Veon Bell, Alvin Kamara third, Hunt fourth, and then Melvin Gordon fifth.
Wow. That's a fine list to be ahead of.
Yeah, Kareem Hunt, he's only up there because of his first 3 weeks, though.
Right.
I still really like him, but that's the only reason he's still fourth. Wait,
why don't they hand him the ball?
Man. I don't know. They're stupid.
I just don't get it.
Just dumb. All right, then we went back to wide receivers. And Mike, this was your debut on the Great Debate.
It was.
Yeah, Alshon Jeffrey versus Allen Robinson. And I had Jeffrey there.
Oh, I know. And I had Robinson. And we'll have to do this again next year.
Yeah. You know, it's just really hard to compare with Allen Robinson, you know, with that whole ACL tear and everything. But Alshon's been great.
Alshon has been really great. He's performed at a top-tier level. Who's to say what Robinson would have done? I mean, it didn't really look like he got the greatest start out there even before he got injured. But I don't know. I think Allen Robinson would have actually been still a pretty good pickup, pretty good play. But obviously not now because of the torn ACL.
Yeah, certainly. You wouldn't want to play him today.
Right.
And Alshon, he played his way into a new contract, didn't he?
He did, yeah. He got a new contract. He got paid. He's really starting to get a good rapport over there. I think he's going to be one of your guys that you see probably drop in probably around the third round next year, which would be a huge increase for him.
Yeah, I kept him in the fifth this year. So if I keep him, I'll get to keep him for a third, which I think he'll probably go late second, early third. So I'm totally okay with that.
Absolutely.
Yep. It was a 4-year extension worth $52 million with $27 million guaranteed.
Wow.
Yeah, a lot of money.
Got paid.
Good for him, though. Good for him.
Heck yeah. Absolutely good for him.
All right, next one up. We went to tight ends for the first time. Mike, it was me and you. Zach Ertz versus Kyle Rudolph.
Yo, Kyle Rudolph. He's starting to pick it up a little bit towards the end. I do can say same thing right again. I wasn't really that high on Zach Ertz. That was another guy I was just like, yeah, you know, I mean, he's okay. He gets a little bit of production. I liked him at the end of last year, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, boom, this guy's on my team because you convinced me this is the guy to have. Last night was the very first night I regretted having Ertz on my team. And if you're regretting a guy on your team because of an injury, you did it right. You had a good guy in the position for the whole entire season. That guy put up 20s three different times. Oh, he was awesome. I hope he's okay now.
Yeah, he has been absolutely fantastic. So, yeah, I feel like I did well on that one.
Yeah, that was a good one. Yeah, you definitely won that round.
That was probably my best call of the season was Zach Ertz. And he was as good a call as bad as my Willie Snead call was.
That's awesome.
Yeah, which I was probably the analyst highest on Willie Snead.
Yep. Yeah, and I think you might still be the analyst highest on Willie Snead.
Even though I'm pretty low.
Yeah. Yeah, yep. But if the question is answered at all, then you're higher than most people, I bet.
Yep. All right, moving back to running backs. We had an eighth one, Marshawn Lynch versus Doug Martin. And you got to give it to Lynch because Martin hasn't played. And when he has played, he's been bad.
20 carries for 34 yards, 20 carries for 38 yards. Yeah, wow, Doug Martin just talk about missing expectations by a mile.
Yep.
I figured this guy was going to have a season. I think I remember talking to people to tell him to draft him. He's worth the wait. It's only 3 weeks. It ended up being four with the suspension and everything like that. But, boy, I think if you had Marshawn Lynch instead of Doug Martin, you're probably a lot happier. And even now, because he just put up 100-plus a touchdown. Doug Martin hasn't done anything in forever.
Yep, absolutely agree. Now, I have been very frustrated with Marshawn Lynch until the last four games. But you got to give it to him. He's, for being out of football for a year, he's doing pretty well.
Yeah, he's doing pretty good. He looks pretty good. He's passing the eye test.
Yeah, last two games, he's been very solid. All right, moving on to number nine here. This was me and Hoos. And at this point in the season, if you look at just the last 3 weeks, I don't know who won. This was Keenan Allen versus DeAndre Hopkins.
That was a good one right there.
Yep. Yep, and both of these guys have been absolutely amazing. They're both in top 10 in PPR formats anyway. And actually, they're both top five. Hopkins is two, Keenan Allen is number five. And that's largely to do with these last 3 weeks that he's had. But DeAndre Hopkins, he's the one who's kept you on top all season. Keenan Allen's why you made the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. Keenan Allen did have a rough start, or actually had a great start and a rough middle, and then picked it up over the past few weeks. DeAndre Hopkins, he was kind of my breakout player of the year this year, if you remember right. I was really high on DeAndre Hopkins coming back, being successful. And, yeah, I mean, even this wasn't even close to what I thought he was going to do. Like, I thought he was going to be about half of where he was with happy expectations being that was the case. And so looking at him now, like, oh my God, DeAndre Hopkins, he is such an elite level talent. He's proving it. Like, I didn't even see that.
These guys have both been fantastic, and I don't see either one showing any signs of slowing down.
Yep, absolutely not. Barring an injury, they're good to go for the rest of this year, and they'll probably be high up next year too. Yep.
So I'm looking at this in PPR. Do you know what DeAndre Hopkins' lowest game was?
I would have to say I don't think he's been under 10 yet this year.
He had one 9.9.
9.9, okay.
2 for 19 and a touchdown. The rest of them, yeah, all been double digits. It put up 4 games over 20 points. Dude's been a monster.
Yeah, absolutely. And you were picking him up really late last year because of the year he had before that.
Right. And he's just like, if he doesn't get a lot of yards, he gets a touchdown.
Correct.
Yeah. Yep. 9 touchdowns on the season. Yeah. Anyway, we could go all day on how awesome DeAndre Hopkins is, but let's go ahead and move on to the next one. Had our very first special guest appearance on The Great Debate. And this was Kyle from the Fantasy Football Fellas. We did Jeremy Maclin versus Pierre Garçon.
Yeah.
And neither panned out.
Right. Jeremy Maclin by a touchdown, maybe?
Yeah, by default, really. No, right. Garçon was very good before he went on IR.
Yeah, nope, he was actually getting a lot of use in that offense. And then, yeah, I mean, right when you saw Garoppolo coming in, it actually looked Garçon might actually be a huge play. Then he gets hurt, and now he's out for the season, and that's rough. But I do feel like he was the better pickup for the year.
Yeah. Yeah. I was really high on Maclin, and, it's Flacco. It's that offense. It's not him.
Right. I completely agree with that. It's so hard for them to get moving.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Next one. We, got back to Sleeper Wire guys here. We thank Kyle from the Fellas. I thank Kyle from the Fellas for coming on and doing the show. Next one, we had Tyrell Williams versus Cameron Meredith. So me and Nick, once again, he took the Bears player.
Who? No, I'm just kidding. Cameron Meredith, another bad break right there. Tyrell Williams actually starting to look pretty good, though, towards the end of the season. He's not doing too bad. Starting to get a little activity.
Yeah, this week he was terrible, but, well, one catch for 8 yards?
Right, right. Well, yeah. When you got Keenan Allen hogging the ball
right.
The way he is.
Absolutely.
And I mean, why wouldn't you just throw it to the guy who's going to run 50 yards every time you toss it to him? So yeah, give it to Keenan.
Very true.
So I can see where that was another guy I didn't see. I mean, I thought he was going to have a good season, but I didn't think it was going to be anything like this.
Right. Now, do you think Cameron Meredith will, like, when he comes back next year, is he going to be successful with Mitchell Trubisky?
I don't know. I really feel like that might be Inman's offense next year. I feel like he's probably the better of the two. I think he was very talented. I don't think we got to see a lot of his talent because of the fact that he was surrounded by so many other great weapons. And so in Chicago, I think you'll see Inman start getting a little bit more work, especially off-season work with Trubisky, because he will be their future. So I really feel like Inman will probably be a lot better than Meredith next year.
Okay, interesting. I probably would have said Meredith, and I'm not even a big Meredith fan. All right, we got 2 left that we did before the fantasy football draft season. Jarvis Landry versus Michael Crabtree. And I, of course, took Jarvis Landry because I'm in love with the guy.
Hard not to be.
Yeah.
He's so good, especially in PPR formats. Man, he is a monster.
Yes, but he's number 8 overall this season in PPR points for wide receiver. He's going to finish as a wide receiver 1.
Yeah, that's amazing. And who saw that coming? That's another guy where I'm like, I liked him, but I didn't expect that kind of result.
Right. Yeah, there's a big deal about Adam Thielen, starting from the beginning of the season, never had fewer than 5 catches all season. And yeah, I'm not taking anything away. I love Adam Thielen. He's been amazing. Landry hasn't had fewer than 5 catches either.
Right. Yeah, no, that guy just gets – I mean, just look at the – garbage barrels of quarterbacks that have been throwing that guy the ball too. I mean, you might as well have me out there hucking it to him, and he's still making connections, he's still making catches, he's still making yards, he's still being fantasy relevant. I think that's going to be a guy you see move way up next year.
Yep, career high 6 touchdowns. I think he's going to be a late second round pick if I had to make the call, as of week 14 this season.
Right, which is impossible. Right, there are a million things can happen in between there, but right now I completely agree. early to mid to late second, somewhere in that window is where he'll land, I think, next year.
Yep, I agree. All right, then we wrapped it up with our rookie grade debate. The only one that we did because we didn't know anything about rookies until the very last week of the preseason. Christian McCaffrey versus Dalvin Cook. And I got to say, and till the injury, Dalvin Cook was the right answer.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, he was so much better than McCaffrey. McCaffrey has been great. He's fit into that offense great. But, man, Dalvin Cook was just beasting it up. I was so heavy in him in a lot of drafts, and that's why I'm fighting for my playoffs right now, is because I drafted this guy so heavy, so high. Oh, I can't wait to see him next year.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Now, the one thing that does it worry you at all with the breakout of McKinnon and the resurgence of Latavius Murray being there? Would you still take Dalvin Cook over Christian McCaffrey next year when Jonathan Stewart might be gone?
I would. Yep, I don't believe that either Latavius or McKinnon. I think they're about 50% of what Cook can bring to the table.
Oh, yeah, I think he's definitely the best. But the other guys, maybe they earned a role. Once again, it is week 14 of the 2017 season, so it's too early to know.
Right. I mean, Latavius is on a contract year. I mean, things like that. So there's a lot of difference. Changes that could be made in the meantime, but I feel like Dalvin Cook completed that offense.
Yep, I would agree with that statement. All right, so that wraps it up for the summer and preseason grade debates. Now we're going to go week by week through the regular season. So after week one, very first one we did, Kenny Golladay versus Cooper Kupp. And Nick had Cooper Kupp, and, you know, this definitely Kupp has had a much better season than Golladay has. Much more consistent as well.
Right, you know, and again, you know, afflicted by injury. Golladay got hurt, I believe week three is when he went down. And he was out for quite a few weeks. Who's to say what would have happened there? But I just think with Marvin Jones and Golden Tate over there, I don't really see Golladay being a fantasy-relevant option, whereas I see Cooper Kupp over Sammy Watkins as far as what you look at where Jared Goff is throwing the ball. So to me, I feel like Cooper Kupp probably won that debate for the end of the season for me. And I think he would have if Golladay would have stayed on the field.
Yeah, very true. Very true. Cooper Kupp's just been pretty great. I don't really have a whole lot more to say about that. Nick's going to be happy that he won that one because for some reason, Nick still thinks that these great debates are something that you try to win rather than just provide, you know, good, honest, for and against arguments. He still thinks he tries to win.
it's a chance to win. So, win.
Right, but yeah, the win comes at the end of the season, though. You don't win the debate. The win comes at the end.
Right. The winner's really the audience.
I debated better than you.
I prepared number stats.
Yep, there we go. Number stats. I like it. Love it. All right, our week two guys, Jermaine Kearse and JJ Nelson.
Yeah, Jermaine Kearse, man, that guy has had a heck of a season. And I mean, when he first signed on with the Jets, who would have thunk that he would have been this good, that usable, when he just, I mean, he was hit or miss so much on the Seahawks. Man, he has had a heck of a year. I think he won that round for sure over JJ Nelson.
Oh yeah, he certainly has. And it might have been a different story if Nelson had stayed healthy, maybe, and if Carson Palmer hadn't gotten injured. But, you know, Jermaine Kearse has been very solid. He's had more than five or more targets in every game but four this season, including double-digit targets the last 2 weeks. And McCown looks for this guy.
Yeah, he likes him. He hits him. When he's not throwing to Robbie Anderson, he's throwing it to Kearse.
Yeah, two straight 100-yard games. Yeah, he's been very solid. So, yeah, it was Kearse over Nelson was the good call there. Moving on to the next one. This was our first great debate together in season after week three, Paul Richardson versus Devin Funchess.
Ooh, and I'm still on Funchess and Bunches, man. I think he's had a great season. The utilization that he has on that offense, because there isn't a lot of productivity going around out there. Carolina's been basically staying in games with their defense. So I think Funchess, man, he's had a great season in spite of that. And I mean, even just yesterday, what did he have? Two catches, I believe, or it was four catches, but he had a touchdown. I mean, so the guy's still getting the biscuit in the basket for you. I feel like he's definitely, I mean, Paul Richardson still, though, He's a still good sleeper. He's a good hit or miss guy. You got Russell Wilson always targeting him, especially when you get those deep bombs and red zone looks. So, but I really feel like Funchess was the better grab right there.
Did you say biscuit in the basket?
I did say biscuit in the basket. Yep.
Wow. Is that a Wyoming statement or what?
It is. It's a Wyoming basketball statement. It's stuck with me since I was about 10 years old. I've said it my whole life, and I always go, oh man, did I just say that out loud?
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify, because I'm assuming our listeners who live in the other 49 states have no idea what the hell you were talking about.
That's awesome.
Oh, anyways, but yeah. Yep. Yeah, Paul Richardson and Devin Funchess. Funchess is definitely the one who's been much better, especially once Kelvin Benjamin got traded, too.
Yeah, once Kelvin Benjamin got traded, he became huge on that list. Again, it just doesn't really seem like Carolina's been that high-octane scoring team that they can be this year. But even in spite of that, he's had a good season, I think.
Yep, and Devin Funchess, I think we put him in here because he had 10 targets in week 3. Whereas Paul Richardson, I believe that was the game where he had a couple touchdowns, if I'm not sure.
Correct, yes.
No, it was a different game. 2 catches, 30 yards, and a touchdown. So maybe it was a slow waiver wire week. But hey, we were looking at teams wide receiver 2s. Sometimes that's what you get, you know?
That's it. You ain't going to grab Antonio Brown off the waiver wire. Right. So you got to go with what you got.
If we could, who
owns what?
Right. If we could grab, you know, 2 RB1s off the waiver wire every single week, that'd be great. But, you know, sometimes you get what you get. But speaking of running backs who've been pretty good, next one after week 4, we did Jerick McKinnon versus Alex Collins.
Oh, the post injury of Dalvin Cook. So I think either one of these guys, I think if you grabbed either one of these guys off the waiver wire, if you listen to us, I think you're pretty happy. I mean, McKinnon did great yesterday. Alex Collins is still very active in that backfield. I think you're really liking either one of these choices here. I bet that was a really tough debate.
Yeah, it's turned out to be fairly even. Now, I would still take McKinnon in a PPR, but Alex Collins in a standard. It's pretty even.
Yeah, nope, I agree with that 100%.
Yeah, that was a pretty good one, and both outcomes turned out pretty well. So hopefully that helped you out, and you were able to make it pretty far. All right, next one, Mike, with your second great debate of the season, Matt Breida versus Marlon Mack. And neither guy has really panned out. But I think this was more of these are RB2s who will have a great opportunity kind of debate.
Right, yep. I don't think we were saying this is a guy that you're going to get out there and start. It was just we were starting to see trends happening, especially with Breida and Carlos Hyde. Obviously, that trend didn't pan out. They kept going with Carlos Hyde and kept him active. And Frank Gore. I mean, man, Frank Gore, he just passed LaDainian Tomlinson as one of the in rushing yards. I mean, the guy is just amazing. He's been solid. But at the time, I mean, it was the trends. It was what we were seeing with our eyes. And it was not passing the test. So we had to have a conversation about these two because it did look like they had an opportunity and it looked like they had a future. Unfortunately, it just didn't pan out.
Right. And each one of them has had a big game or two since. But it's just they're so few and far between and hard to predict.
Absolutely, yeah.
But at the same time, Frank Gore's pretty old. Carlos Hyde's pretty injury prone. So there were good arguments to be made that either one of these guys could have been a starter due to an injury.
I know there was a lot of hype around that time, too, about even Carlos Hyde getting traded from San Francisco.
Yeah.
So Breida was looking good.
I'm wondering if that wasn't just a ruse to get to light a fire in him or something.
Maybe, because he's actually had a very decent season overall.
Yeah, he's been pretty solid. All right, so that one's kind of a tough one to pick a winner out of. But moving on to the next one, we did tight ends for the first and I believe the only time during the season, because, you know, we talk about tight ends you can stream pretty easily. But this was Zach Miller versus Tyler Kroft. And, you know, Zach Miller got super injured.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So I didn't even think about that. I read his name a couple of times and nothing. And then I just remembered. Oh, my God. That guy. We were talking about whether or not he was going to lose his leg, Chris. Like, I mean, so who's the winner here? Obviously, Tyler Kroft. He stayed in the season. But man, I hope to God Zach Miller, I don't think we'll ever see him in a football uniform again, but I just hope to God he can walk, do everything the way he used to be able to do it before he played football. That, to me, is going to be the real winner here.
Right. His leg basically flamingoed.
Oh, my. Yeah, it was just so bad. I remember the first time I saw that, I thought, I sat there and I argued with my best friend for about 20 minutes telling him, you shouldn't try to pass off Photoshop shit as real. And I'm like, this is just bad, dude. And he's like, dude, watch the replay. And I watched the replay and I almost threw up. Like, I was, oh.
It was hard to watch. I felt like I had to watch it, but it was hard to watch. It reminded me a lot of that Kevin Ware injury, that Louisville basketball player in the Elite Eight.
Yep, I remember exactly the one you're talking about.
That one, and then the Paul George injury a couple preseasons ago.
Yes.
Or no, that wasn't the preseason. That was international ball.
Yep, international. I was going to say, but man, poor Zach Miller. I hope he's okay.
Yeah, I do too. It was just pretty bad. But yeah, so Tyler Croft, certainly the winner out of that, great debate. Moving on.
Still serviceable too.
Yeah, he certainly is. He's definitely a streamable tight end. Mike, your first of three in a row now, back to back to back. Kenny Stills versus Deontay Thompson. And I got to tell you, I picked Kenny Stills on this one. This was the sole reason I picked him back in week 7 was because Jay Cutler went down and Matt Moore was coming in. And you go back and you look at that trend with Matt Moore at the end of last season, where he caught a touchdown in the only 3 games that Matt Moore played in.
Yeah, you know, and he did great. I think he had one dud week in between the 3 weeks where Matt Moore was the quarterback. And I believe if I remember right, Matt Moore still used him this year just as much. He really hasn't done anything with Jay Cutler out there. But then Deontay Thompson, man, he had a great game right after that debate. I feel like I won that week, but I feel like you won the season. But then he also came back, and I mean, he came back, had a dud week, and then he came back, had another great week, and now just avoid the Bills at all costs.
Yeah, he's still getting targeted too. He still had 8 targets, but only 2 catches for 21 yards.
Right. Well, you got to remember, a target is anything that's thrown near you. So.
Right. Yep. Absolutely. All right, moving on to the next one. We had Juju versus Robbie Anderson. And Juju was the answer that week, but Robbie Anderson ever since, man.
That was probably the best debate I think that we've had as far as the list goes. I mean, looking at the preseason, looking at now, just can you think of 2 players that you could have thrown on your roster that are going to help you today as good as these 2 players right here are helping you right now? If you grabbed Robbie Anderson right there, you're probably in the playoffs. You're probably eyeballing that championship with a pretty easy path in your way. And it's not like Juju Smith-Schuster sitting there being a slouch. I mean, that guy's got a great offense. If he can get on the field, that's the thing that's kind of hindering him right now is the injuries. But if he can get on that field, man, he's also dangerous too.
Yeah, absolutely. I will say if I had to choose one, it would be Robbie Anderson. But Juju for a rookie has looked exceptional.
So wait, does that mean I won that debate?
Yes.
I'm just kidding, dude.
Well, you didn't win the debate, but Robbie Anderson won of the 2 players.
Okay.
All right. Next one was a blowout. Zay Jones versus Robert Woods.
Yowzas. Yeah, Zay Jones was looking like he was getting some activity there for a minute. And again, the Bills. I don't know what happened in Buffalo. Like, maybe they drank some water that was bad or something. I mean, I just don't know what's going on. But Robert Woods, he's been looking spectacular this year.
Yeah, he certainly has. And I think he had just had one of those really big games when we put him in here. Zay Jones had his first great game. Robert Woods had a 2-touchdown game. So it's like, you know what? Let's go ahead and put these in here. And I honestly didn't think Robert Woods could sustain that pace. And he did it for, what, 3 games?
Yeah, as the guy who debated him, I did not see that coming either. I mean, he was getting touchdowns, he was getting yardage, he was getting targets. It was great. Not even near the expectation I had for him. I mean, minimal. You know, I'm like, it's Robert Woods. You still got Kupp, you got Watkins, you got Gurley out there. I mean, there's just so many mouths to feed. But yeah, to me, Robert Woods is going to probably be the guy that stands out on that team as the wide receiver to own next year.
Yeah, it certainly seems like it. And it was, you know, kind of funny. We did that debate after he had 4 for 70 and 2. Zay Jones, like I said, had a big week. And we do that debate, and then Robert Woods has 8 for 171 and 2 touchdowns. And I was like, oh, my God.
Right?
Absolutely monster game. Hope to see him back on the field soon because I'm sick of him being on my bench, not being able to do anything with him.
Oh, I know. That's rough. Hopefully he gets back this week.
Yep. Yep. All right, moving on. Number 10, we had Jamal Williams versus Austin Eckler. And we actually got some flack for this one saying that, you know, these guys, this was kind of a pointless great debate, but it certainly doesn't look like it now.
Yeah, nope. To me, I still think, like, these are probably guys that you want to have. You know, I mean, Jamal Williams especially, he just tortured the defense yesterday. And, I mean, you got Aaron coming back here pretty soon, Aaron Jones. And so he's going to – I mean, he was back. I guess he also put in a touchdown. It's funny because I benched him for Woodhead going – he's just, I mean, he's only going to get maybe one to five touches, you know, and that's all he's going to get. Well, that's all he needs, I guess, to be fantasy relevant over Danny Woodhead. But to me, I mean, Austin Eckler, too. I mean, if you are, especially if you're the Melvin Gordon owner and you don't own this guy right now, you are set up for failure, my friend. So I think to me, that's still a debatable subject. I think both these guys are great to own.
Yeah, Jamal Williams is certainly someone you can play right now, but Austin Eckler, you know, Melvin Gordon is one of the true workhorse backs in the NFL. You got to have his handcuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Like yeah. I said, if you don't have him and you have Gordon, you're doing it wrong. Yeah. You can even have him if you need, like, let's say Danny Woodhead. I would rather play Eckler over Woodhead. How about you?
Yep, right now I certainly would.
Yeah, and I mean, we're talking about a backup running back that's still getting production. That's crazy that we got flack. I think me and you got a little flack for the Deontay Thompson, Kenny Stills one.
Dude, yeah, we did.
And that, I believe, was deserved, Chris. I think we got to eat that one.
But you know what? It's not, you know, I'd like to say, yeah, we blew it. But some weeks you just don't have any good options.
Right. That's fair enough, too. I mean, if we look back at that week and see who the number one waiver guy was, I'll bet it'd be one of these two guys. And I'd actually lean towards Kenny Stills.
Yeah. I certainly would agree with that. So it's just, you know, we got to take what we can get. We can't plan this out ahead of time.
Right. Again, it's not like we're sitting there looking at Antonio Brown on the waiver wire going, right, now, should I grab him? Like, that's easy.
We decide these late Sunday night.
So absolutely.
Almost all the games have gone through. That's when these get decided. So, all right. So that really wrapped it up for guys who you could pick up and play. Then we moved into, you know, positions that you should stash. So after week 11, we were looking at playoff defenses, and we had Adam, our grand poobah, on for the first time. And it was the Bears versus the Redskins, and I'm still feeling like the Bears are going to be the better defense to have.
I would like to fight Adam, actually, because I started the Redskins in our sleeper wire league, and they racked me up a total of -5 points. -5 points, Adam. I hope you're listening to this. And so, yeah, for sure, it's the Bears. The Bears are a great defense. I think it's just weird to me that they've been underlooked this whole entire season. I mean, name a guy who's really gone off against the Bears this year. You're going to have a tough time because nobody's done it. They've been able to stay in football games. I really think if they can keep this defense put together the way that they are, I think next year the Bears might actually be a threat.
Threat's a little bold.
Okay, so you got Jordan Howard. Let's say they get half of the expectation out of Mitchell Trubisky, right? And I'm really high on Inman. And that defense, I really think, I mean, and then you look at the rest of their division. Okay, so you got Philadelphia in there too. They're probably going to stay good. I don't know if they're going to be like Philadelphia caliber, but maybe a wild card playoff spot, I could see.
Okay. All right. Yeah, they do need some pieces, though, that's for sure.
Absolutely. They need wide receiver help, yep, for sure.
Certainly.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then we moved into going into week 13. It's time to talk playoff stashes. And we kind of hit this a little bit with Austin Eckler, but Hoos and I really tried to drive this down, how important it is. We did James Conner versus Travaris Cadet, and I really tried to emphasize that we were not advocating these as guys to play. We were advocating them as guys to stash because they are the clear handcuff for some of the best running backs in the entire league. I don't know if any handcuff is more valuable than the handcuff to Le'Veon Bell.
Right. Nope, I completely agree. James Conner, it goes back to the Eckler thing. If you own Le'Veon Bell and you don't own Conner, you're doing it wrong. Like, you're setting yourself up to lose in the championship or in the semifinal or any playoff matches. I mean, if Le'Veon Bell twists his knee, you're not going to be able to go grab this guy off the waiver wire. You might even have somebody who's not even in the playoffs grab him just to be a jerk against you. So don't gamble with that. Don't gamble with your handcuffs. Get him on your team. Who are you going to play over? Who are you going to put on over Le'Veon Bell? That's going to be nobody. So stash it. Where are you going to put, like, say, Danny Woodhead?
Yep. I only have Le'Veon Bell in one league, and that's actually my Professor Chris Listener League. But I drafted James Conner in the last round, and he's been on my bench all season just in case.
Absolutely. Yep. You got to have a spot for that because you just never know. With Le'Veon Bell, you had the additional risk of the marijuana. So on top of it, that's a guy you have to handcuff. LeSean McCoy, he twists his knee a lot. That's a guy you have to handcuff. Melvin Gordon, that's a guy you have to handcuff. After that, you really kind of start running a little bit thinner on guys that you have to handcuff because you're not going to get the same production because you don't have the same offense. So to me, that's a great debate right there. That's a fantastic debate. Get the guys on your team that are going to help you win championships when the inevitable or the unplanned or unforeseen happens.
Yep, absolutely. I could not have said it better myself. Well, hey, we got through 20 off 25 of them.
That's crazy, man. It still just baffles me that there was 25 great debates already this year. It baffles me we're in week 13, getting ready to start up week 14. Ugh, man, it just happened so fast this year.
It certainly did. It certainly did. All right, guys. Well, if you have been listening to the Great Debate since the beginning of the summer, thank you for listening. If you tuned in, you know, during the season, we just appreciate every single listen that you guys gave us. Every single download was very awesome. I want to encourage you guys to go to sleeperwire.com, check out our weekly rankings that are updated every Wednesday. You can submit a question to the SleeperWire crew. You can find us on Twitter at SleeperWireShow. You can find us on SleeperBot at Professor Chris and Dirty Jobs, and on the Fantasy Life app at Professor Chris and Dirty Jobs. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll catch you next time.
Have a good week.